This is Audible.
Random House Audio presents Master Your Metabolism, the three diet secrets to naturally balancing your hormones for a hot and healthy body by Jillian Michaels with Mariska Van Alst. This is Jillian Michaels. I could have called this program The Evolution of a Health and Fitness Guru. Why? Because after 17 years of work in the fitness field, 17 years of studying with the world's top doctors in sports medicine, nutrition, endocrinology, and anti-aging, this is everything I've learned. Yes, this is what it has all been leading up to. Master Your Metabolism, my total approach to optimal weight and optimal health. It's the distillation of my entire journey in health from childhood binge eater to weight loss guru. I've been at this for almost 2 decades, but what I've learned in the past few years completely changed my body and my life. My first book, Winning by Losing, centered on the psychological and behavioral aspects of losing weight. There, I focused on how to get yourself into a frame of mind so you'd be ready to lose weight. If you're just getting started with an exercise program and want an approachable plan, you might want to check that out too. My second book, Making the Cut, was my ode to fitness. It's a physical fitness regimen designed to get rid of those last 10 pounds, the hard way. It's ruthless, but very effective. Insert evil laugh here. It gets you shredded, blasts the problem areas like muffin tops and saddlebags, and helps you prep for that big event or party where you want to look your best. If you have only a few pounds to lose and want to get fit fast, its 30-day plan will work for you. Master Your Metabolism, however, has nothing to do with exercise. It is, first and foremost, a diet program, my very first. And let me tell you, if you practice what I'm preaching here, it will change your life in more ways than just being skinny. I'm talking about adding years of quality to your life. We all know that fad diets are a thing of the past and that the no-carb, no-fat crazes of the 80s and 90s are scientific laughingstocks and pop culture dinosaurs. Welcome to the future. This is the era of genome mapping, stem cell research, and nutrigenomics, the study of how food communicates with our genes. Yes, calorie counting and exercise are very important, but they are not the whole story. Underneath the dieting and workout programs are the little messengers that carry information from your body to your brain and vice versa. These little messengers are your hormones. What do hormones have to do with anything? Let me explain. If I were to ask you what your metabolism is, what would you say? I bet you would answer, the way that my body burns calories. If so, you'd be wrong. That's one of the key things your metabolism does. But do you know what it is? The answer is hormones. Your metabolism is your biochemistry. Some hormones tell you when you're hungry. Some tell you when you're full. When you eat, hormones tell your body what to do with that food, whether to store it or burn it as fuel. And when you exercise, hormones tell the body how to move and consume energy stores and how to boost or shut down different parts of the body. Hormones control almost every aspect of how we gain weight and how we lose it. Maybe right now you're thinking, I'm a guy, I don't have to worry about hormones. Or, if this is about hormones, it's not for me. I'm 20 years away from menopause. Yeah, well, that's what I thought too. I'm only 34. What could my weight possibly have to do with my hormones? But guess what? Whether you're a girl or a guy, whether you're young or old, your weight has everything to do with your hormones. Whether you want to lose the freshman 15, the post-baby belly, or the beer gut, your hormones determine whether you'll succeed or fail. And right this minute, your hormones, and by definition, your metabolism, are being set up to fail. Without you even knowing it, your hormones have been hijacked by toxin-filled, nutritionally deficient, stress-dominated systems, endocrine disruptors that cause obesity and disease. These systems lurk in surprising places, but they ultimately disrupt our hormone function and cause hormone imbalances in all of us. That's why I designed Master Your Metabolism to identify these catalysts of obesity and disease, cut them out at the roots, and create a state of optimal health where the body and mind function at maximal efficiency. Together, we'll target and eliminate these endocrine disruptors and replace them with hormone-positive systems that make you healthy, happy, and skinny, no matter how old you are. Synthesizing what the science of endocrinology can teach you about your metabolism, your eating habits, and your weight, Master Your Metabolism gives you a clear-cut plan that makes the latest research work for you and your individual biochemistry. And this complete lifestyle plan will help you not only lose that weight, but keep it off once and for all. I want to teach you that you can get your hormones in check simply by changing your habits in the grocery store and at the kitchen table. We're going to dig deep here and remove all the toxic crap that damages your endocrine system, turns on your fat-storing hormones, and causes you to gain weight. Then we'll restore the nutrients that speak directly with your fat-burning hormones to nudge them back to the most favorable levels. Finally, we'll rebalance the energy going into and out of your body so that your metabolism works for you as a fat-burning machine instead of against you, storing fat and stealing energy. If you've seen me on television or heard me on the radio, you know I'm like a dog with a bone. I do not give up. I've perfected this plan to work for everyone, and I've done it the way I've worked to help every one of my clients and Biggest Loser contestants, through careful attention to detail and relentless persistence. I've taken all the latest cutting-edge research and personally tested it to make sure I could offer the healthiest, most effective eating and lifestyle program possible. I know you have a hectic and full life. I know you hate plans that make you count and chart and obsess about minute details. Forget all that. I may be tough in the gym, but I'm going to make it easy on you on this diet. Just pull up a seat at the table and enjoy. As you work your way through Master Your Metabolism, you can follow this program either as general guiding principles or as a specific prescribed weight loss plan. I'll break it down in as much detail as you need. Do it all or just take the major lessons and go on your way. It's your call. You should also make use of the PDF file that comes with this program. It's a supplement to the audiobook where you'll find detailed discussions of topics like less than stellar foods, removing toxins from your environment, the master meal plans and recipes, the master shopping list. You'll also find a resources guide there that will direct you to good places for further information. I want you to begin to see everything that we are up against and start making choices that follow the major tenets of this plan. Do that, and you'll take back control of your hormones, restart your metabolism, and get it revving faster than it ever has. Because bottom line, this is not about being thin to be healthy. It's about being healthy to be thin. Ready? Let's go. Part 1. This is your metabolism on hormones. Any and every body function you can imagine is controlled by your hormones. From minute to minute, your biochemistry tries to maintain homeostasis, a sense of balance in your body. In addition to helping all the systems of your body, your kidneys, gut, liver, fat, nervous system, reproductive organs communicate with one another, your hormones have another enormous job. Whenever your body interacts with millions of external variables, the contents of your meal, the time of day, the intensity of your workout, your endocrine system responds, releasing hormones to help you balance your blood sugar, go to sleep, burn fat, or build muscle. The only problem is that sometimes those external variables shoot way off the charts, and your hormones don't know which way is up. They try to help your body regain balance, but in the face of unhealthy foods, environmental toxins, or too much stress, they begin to overreact and overcompensate. And that's when the problems start. Too many stressful deadlines spike belly fat, creating cortisol. Synthetic estrogens in the environment assault the body from every corner and fake out your testosterone. Too many missed nights of sleep make fat-burning growth hormones dip low. Skipped lunches make the hunger hormone ghrelin jump. Addictions to sugared sodas stop satiety fullness hormones like leptin from working. These dramatic hormonal shifts weren't part of your body's original plan, so the unpredictable fluctuations start to wear down your body's natural regulatory processes. Your endocrine system no longer understands what balance looks like. It stops responding the way it should. Your organs take a beating, your glands burn out, you get hypothyroid, leptin resistant, and insulin resistant. And then you gain weight. That's why we need to get your body back in balance. And that's why I'm going to give you all the tools you need to regain control of your body's biochemistry. Together, we're going to press the reset button on your metabolism and retrain your hormones so that instead of gaining, you can start losing weight, and a lot of it. I'm going to tell you what happened to me, how my hormone levels got entirely messed up. Not because it's so unusual, but because many of the same things have probably happened to you and everyone you know. Without realizing it, even a fitness guru can have all her hard work undermined by out-of-whack hormones. So how does a teacher or a salesman or a stay-at-home mom stand a chance? It all began when I was a total chubster. I may look ripped now, but I spent my early years constantly struggling with excess weight. Part of what started it all was living with my dad. My dad was an addict, and food was just one of his addictions. He was also very likely hypothyroid, although none of us knew that at the time. But his addiction to food and his genetic predisposition for being overweight definitely was transferred to me. I'd hang out with my dad at home when my mom was going to night school studying to be a psychologist. Food was the only way that he knew how to show affection or relate to me. He would make huge buckets of popcorn and we would watch Buck Rogers together. Or we would make pizzas together. He even got into making us homemade ice cream. If we left the house, we'd go out to our special chicken shawarma place or the burrito place we liked. Food became one of the only connections I had with my dad. But my issues with food didn't all come from my dad. My mom, who was always skinny, would sometimes use food as a reward. I was an only child, and if my parents were both out, they would leave me with a sitter. I hated being with a sitter. So before the sitter got there, they'd take me to the bakery and say, "Pick whatever you want." Or my dad would just order me a Napoleon because that was his favorite. And on the way out of the bakery, I could have a rum ball, an extra little baked confection. Those things still have such a bizarre emotional connection for me, it's scary. My mom knew I missed her when she went to work, so before she left for the day, she'd say, "What would you like from the vending machine?" And as soon as she got home, she'd bring me my Twix bar. I had an elaborate Twix eating ritual. First, I'd carefully eat the entire caramel layer off the top of the cracker. Then I'd dunk the cracker in a glass of milk. These food rituals were a comfort to me. They were steady, consistent, reliable, and eventually very destructive. That's how it always was in my family, as far back as I can remember. Once when I was 3 years old, my parents were having a conversation about separating. They gave me a bag of Cheetos and put me in the kitchen while they argued in the next room. I remember sitting at the kitchen table alone in front of a huge bag of Cheetos, wondering, what does this mean for me? No brothers or sisters at the time, no real support, but the Cheetos were there for me. The food kept me company. It gave me something to look forward to that I knew was consistent and wouldn't let me down. Sad, huh? My parents ultimately got divorced when I was 12. Not coincidentally, that was really the pinnacle of my weight gain. Everything was falling apart for me. I was skipping school, failing in my classes, experimenting with the contents of my parents' liquor cabinet, doing all kinds of bad things, dangerous things. Around this time, I started having dreams that I was a POW in a war zone. I became obsessed with movies about the Vietnam War, and I literally started to believe I was a reincarnated POW. The day my parents' divorce was finalized, I kicked a hole in the wall. I was 12 years old, 5 feet tall, and weighed about 175 pounds. In other words, I was 2 inches shorter and 55 pounds heavier than I am now. And that's when martial arts saved my life. At the time, my mom was dating this guy whose nephews were taking martial arts from a teacher who was a bit unconventional, to say the least. I was intrigued. At some level, my mom sensed it would be the right thing for me. But sending your kid to this instructor was kind of like sending her off to military school. He did not mess around. His name was Robert David Margolin, and he taught out of a dojo in his garage in the Calabasas Hills. Robert created a hybrid style, a mix of Aikido and Muay Thai called Okarui Do. In essence, He was one of the first mixed martial arts pioneers. He became a sort of father figure to me, but he was definitely a renegade. He was very extreme, and I loved it. It felt more real to me than a tamer, more conventional approach would have. I guess I am just drawn to extremes. You may have guessed this about me already. The men in that small dojo became like brothers to me. They were all dedicated to their health and were driven, spiritual, and focused. Because I looked up to them so much, I began to realize that all the other stuff I was doing, the drinking, the ditching school, and basically making a mess of my life, was not cool. This was cool to me. I wanted to be just like these people. I wanted to impress them. So what was it Rob said to me that finally got my ass in gear? Here's the story. I believe everyone who is serious about changing their lives has one of these. I call it the rock bottom moment. It's the epiphany that ultimately drives you toward change, no matter what. One day, while I was waiting for my lesson, I was standing there, scarfing down my bag of Cheetos. Robert came out to get me, took one look at the bag, and threw me out of the studio. "You're wasting my time," he said to me. "And until you're ready to pick up what I'm laying down, you're wasting your own time. But I actually value my time, so get out." I felt the blood drain out of my body. He saw how stunned I was. "If you want to take this seriously and take yourself seriously, then come back and I can help you out." And he shut the door in my face. The day Robert kicked me out of his studio, I was 14. I'd been there just over a year. I suddenly realized how far I'd come. I'd gone from being the fat kid in school who couldn't take her eyes off the ground, the one who ate lunch in Mrs. Cronstadt's office every single day because I was so afraid to show my face in the schoolyard, to being the kid who would walk down the hall and look people in the eye and think, "You can't talk to me like that. I just broke two boards with my right foot. Bring it." I couldn't risk losing that power again. Working with Robert turned me around psychologically, gave me confidence, and showed me a way of life that I valued and that would help me achieve my dreams. He helped me realize that the stronger I was physically, the more potent I was as a human being. But I still didn't understand one key thing. Robert didn't care whether I was skinny. I did. But he couldn't have cared less. He wanted me to eat a healthy diet to take care of my body. But I didn't really get that part of his message until many years later. By 17, I was a certified fitness trainer, and I was vain. I was a young woman living in Los Angeles. Naturally, I wanted to look good. I was voracious about it. There was nothing that I didn't read or know about. I had every trade magazine from Muscle and Fitness to Shape. I read every diet book, tried every fitness craze. I saw what worked and what didn't. I was studying Navy SEAL training, poring over books about Bruce Lee and Israeli SWAT team methods. I spent hours and hours in the gym doing the craziest stuff. I was doing plyometrics and high-intensity workouts a decade before they hit the mainstream. I would go to the gym and hang upside down by one gravity boot or do one-arm pull-ups like it was nothing. People at the gym would see me and think, "What the heck is this girl doing?" Then a couple of them started coming up to me and asking me to train them. That's how my career as a trainer began. People wanted me to teach them all the crazy stuff I was doing to myself. I wasn't even thinking of making a career out of it. I was already bartending at night with a fake ID, I might add. Still a bit of a rebel, some things never change. I was making really good money for a teenager. I didn't need the extra money. I never looked for clients. I just thought, well, I'm doing this for me, but if you want me to, sure, I'll train you. What the heck? Could be fun. Of course, at that point, I had no idea this would be my destiny. Helping people change their bodies and their lives through fitness and health. I was still going through my own saga, my own continuing struggle with my weight. I was obsessed with finding the right ways to burn fat, not just for my clients, but for me. For example, for a while, I followed the prevailing belief that the most effective way to burn fat was to work out on an empty stomach. Then I had the chance to talk to a biochemist about it and came to find out it was exactly the wrong thing to do, because your body will metabolize its own muscle tissue. Scratch that, move on to the next thing. I did the same thing with my diet. I experimented with Pritikin, Atkins, blood type, pH, Paleolithic, vegetarianism, food combining, even the dreaded Master Cleanse. You name the diet, I went on it. Why? Because I wanted to be skinny. For a full decade, I treated my body like I was a lab rat. How could I have dreamed that all these extreme experiments were messing with my hormones? All I cared about was never going back to being the fat kid. And frankly, I didn't care how I got the results I was looking for. Working in the gym, reading up on all the latest diet research, I was totally in my element, loving life. But then, somehow, I got lost in cubicle land for a few years. Have you ever made a choice in your life that seemed like a mild course correction but turned into a major detour? That's what happened to me, and it took me years to get back on track. I was happily training people during the day and bartending at night, not thinking so much about the future, just having fun. But then I started taking flack from a guy I was dating. "Jillian, you're 23, he said. "You live in Los Angeles. You can't be a trainer," as if he were saying drug dealer, "for the rest of your life. You need to get serious. You need to get a career." From that point on, I thought, oh, I guess being a trainer isn't a real career. Probably the saddest part was that I didn't think of training people as a career precisely because I liked it so much. Something so fun couldn't be work, right? Tragic. I told myself I needed to get serious and find an adult job, so I went to work at a major talent agency in Los Angeles. For the next 4 excruciating, soul-crushing years, I burned the candle at both ends, holding down a 60-hour-a-week desk job with sky-high stress and 100% butt-in-the-chair time. Yet even if I had to do my workout at midnight, I was still working myself into the ground at the gym. Still obsessed with health, still training. I just wasn't training anybody else. During my few off hours, I was still voraciously devouring every diet out there. Oh, are we on the zone now? Hold on, now we're doing metabolic typing. Is that it? What's the South Beach thing? Is this the way? Because it was always a constant battle with my weight, my body, my health. Day in and day out, I was slavishly counting every last calorie. About this time, I noticed that I had a kind of blotchy brown spot on my face that wouldn't go away. Turned out I had melasma, also known as the mask of pregnancy. Extreme hyperpigmentation on the face that's often caused by high levels of estrogen and progesterone. My dermatologist looked at it and said, "We could do a peel to lighten it." I thought, peel it? Hang on! Why am I getting it in the first place? I'd never been pregnant, and I wasn't on birth control pills. What was going on? I didn't have time to think about it. Stressed to the gills, living on processed, i.e. fake, diet foods, artificial sweeteners, sugar alcohols, and caffeine, I was forcing myself through my days, gutting it out through a sheer naked addiction to Diet Coke. I'd have a 6-pack or more every day. From the outside, my job was really glamorous. I didn't wait in line at restaurants. People knew me. I worked in Hollywood, for goodness sake. I thought I was a big shot. But in reality, I hated my job, hated what I was doing. Every morning, I would wake up and basically want to scream. I felt like my life had no meaning. You know that saying, things are always darkest before the dawn? My darkest point was getting caught in a power struggle between 2 agents. I knew something terrible about one of them, something he'd been doing that would definitely get him fired, if not sued. The stress of knowing this information was too much for me. Plus, to be honest, I really couldn't stand him. So when the upper management pulled me in to question me about what he'd done, I spilled it. The whole story. I told them what he'd done and how he'd done it. You see where this story is going, don't you? The agent renegotiated his contract, they fired me, and now I had a mortal enemy for life. What happened next was straight out of "You'll Never Eat Lunch in This Town Again." He blackballed me all over town. I couldn't get a job. I couldn't even get off the couch. I just sat there thinking, I wasted 4 years of my life killing myself for no reason, being miserable. And for what? At a certain point, I had no choice. I had to make money. A friend hired me at a sports fitness place to be a physical therapy assistant. I had to suck it up and work for about a tenth of my former salary, putting towels on kids who were assistants at the company that had just fired me. Kids I'd sent to that gym when I was their superior at work. The whole experience was just mortifying. And just about the best thing that ever happened to me. A bad day for your ego is a great day for your soul. As it turned out, that gigantic ego check was exactly what I needed. The move put me back in my element and made me humble and hungry enough to work hard again. After a long time of trying to live up to someone else's definition of success, I was back where I belonged and happy for the first time in years. Within just a few months, I'd helped the center extend its offerings and open a full gym. My client list started to fill up. I was working with celebrities like Vanessa Marcel, Amanda Peet, Hollywood agents and producers, all new clients who had come to me because of my time in the entertainment industry. As I became more established, I would get to speak with these celebrities, nutritionists, dietitians, and sports medicine doctors, all the best in the business. Believe me, I never wasted a chance to pick their brains. I'd take these theories that I learned and say, "Explain Atkins to me. Where's the science behind this diet? What's it really doing?" The picture was gradually becoming clearer, but I still wasn't putting all the pieces together, especially not about what was happening in my own body. By the following year, I had opened my own sports medicine facility in Beverly Hills, complete with 3 physical therapists, a physiatrist, and a chiropractor. Soon after that, I started getting calls from Shape, Self, Redbook, and Marie Claire whenever they needed an interview on a new fitness, diet, or weight loss phenomenon. Professionally, I was rocking, and my future looked bright. But through it all, I was still constantly struggling to keep my weight down. The only reason I was staying in shape was because I was meticulous, and I mean meticulous, about counting calories. I was training my body rigorously for 7 to 8 hours a week. Even as I told my clients to drink tons of water, I was heavily addicted to caffeine, pounding diet sodas hourly. God forbid I should fall off the wagon for a few days, I'd instantly gain 5 pounds, which would then drive me back to the grueling routine. After all the effort I'd put into learning about diet and nutrition, I just couldn't figure out why all my working out and freaky eating habits weren't doing the trick. I really thought I'd been royally screwed in the genetics department, that my metabolism just sucked, and I would never be able to have it as easy as some of my friends. But as it turned out, the reality was that a body can handle that kind of strain for only so long before it gives out completely. Which is what happened when I joined the cast of The Biggest Loser. Now, if a girl's gonna go on TV and inspire people to lose hundreds of pounds, she's gotta look good, right? That was my guiding thought as I prepared to be on camera. I have to be ripped. I gotta make an impression, I'd tell myself. So I would severely restrict my calories to 1,200 a day while killing myself in the gym. This was the only way to get my body in amazing shape. I had one chance to get people's attention and make an impression. I had to be in the best shape of my life, to walk the walk, you might say. Well, I walked the walk all right. The walk of the living dead. I was exhausted, worked to the bone, and stressed to the max. As soon as the season ended, I went from 1,200 calories a day to a healthy 1,800, a perfectly reasonable shift for someone who worked out as hard as I did. And I put on 15 pounds practically overnight. But it wasn't like I just went home and stuffed myself with pizza. I was still working out 5 hours a week. If I had a single glass of wine, I gained weight. Again, I had to kill myself to get it back off. Something else was going on. This is ridiculous, I thought. Something was definitely wrong with my metabolism. It just shouldn't be this bloody hard. At this point, a good friend and client of mine had been seeing an endocrinologist. I got on the phone with this doctor to discuss the health and wellness of my client, which was totally routine for me. I pretty much worked with the entire medical community of Los Angeles, seen or talked to every dietitian, sports medicine doctor, biochemist, chiropractor, podiatrist, you name it. But this was my first endocrinologist. While talking to this doctor, I finally understood why my client wasn't seeing results. All the missing pieces of the puzzle were right in front of me. My client had hypothyroidism, which is why we couldn't get off her last 15 pounds. She was also suffering from PCOS, which is linked to type 2 diabetes, which was also making her metabolism function at a snail's pace. Whoa. I knew she had a slow metabolism, but now I knew why. And with this help, we created a diet plan to change it for her. Incredible, I thought. I have to get this done to myself. How soon can I get in there? I asked. Can I drive over there right now? Eventually, I did put myself at the endocrinologist's mercy. I got tested for everything from cholesterol to heavy metal poisoning. I still remember the day I was sitting in his office when he strolled in with my results. He smiled, handed me a piece of paper, and before I had a chance to read it, said, "How long have you been hypothyroid?" I blinked. The paper was full of numbers in the abnormal range column. "And your testosterone is really low. Have you ever been on Accutane?" I couldn't catch my breath. "Do you know what estrogen dominant means?" At that point, I almost felt dizzy. All of a sudden, I had a completely plausible explanation for all the symptoms I'd ignored or denied for so many years. My facial pigmentation, my peaks and troughs of energy, and yes, those 15 instant pounds, the uniting factor was my hormones. My fat-storing stress hormones like cortisol were through the roof. My fat-burning youth hormones like growth hormone and DHEA were plunging. I had more estrogen floating around than my body knew what to do with. My entire endocrine system was entirely whacked out, and with it, my metabolism. This realization was one of the greatest awakenings of my career. And from that moment on, I was unstoppable. I was totally new to this world, but I saw an avenue to fix things and make them right. That's how I created Master Your Metabolism. No matter how you've abused your body up until now, and I'm willing to bet you have, even if you didn't mean to, you can make it better. You can reboot your metabolism and optimize your hormones so your body can relearn how to incinerate fat. You can learn what foods and lifestyle habits trigger weight loss hormones and which ones dampen weight gain hormones. You can make changes that will turn back the clock for your body and add those extra years to the back end. And you'll do it in three simple steps: remove, restore, and rebalance. Remove the anti-nutrients. We're going to get overprocessed Frankenfood out of your kitchen once and for all. We'll go through your pantry and toss all the anti-nutrients, the toxic processed foods and synthetic chemicals that have been screwing up your metabolism, including the ones that you thought were helping you. We'll even clean up a few of the natural foods that have a surprisingly negative impact on your hormones. Restore the hormone power foods. We'll add back the foods that your body needs, whole, fresh foods that naturally, instinctively optimize your hormones. We'll focus on restoring the food groups that trigger your fat-burning hormones and blunt your fat-storing hormones. Each of these hormone power foods also builds muscle, smooths skin, increases energy, and helps prevent dangerous conditions and diseases like cancer, heart disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, metabolic syndrome, and much more. Rebalance your timing and portions. No calorie counting here. We'll create an easy-to-follow, personalized plan to help you rebalance your food intake to maintain your blood sugar balance and energy throughout the day without hunger or cravings. You'll learn how to combine foods in ways that trigger the optimal release of hormones, making sure you get all the proper nutrients in the right ratios to support your metabolism. And to keep your body burning calories throughout the day, you'll eat almost constantly, one of my favorite aspects of the plan. Repairing your metabolism doesn't end with your diet. One of the most surprising things about my hormonal revelation was learning the impact of the environment and lifestyle on our hormones. That's why Master Your Metabolism also has a lifestyle program to help you root out and minimize as many risk factors as possible in your own life. You'll learn too. Remove the toxins. You won't believe how many chemicals in your water supply, house, car, office, you name it, are making you fat right now. We'll continue to detoxify our bodies by removing known endocrine disruptors from our environment wherever possible, and we'll automatically help heal the earth one house at a time. Restore the nutrients. Everything about the modern American food supply, from industrial farming to pesticide use to overprocessing, drains our food of its natural nutrients. Once you begin to restore the hormone-optimizing nutrients, you will certainly be on the right path. But sometimes your body needs more of certain vitamins and minerals to get your metabolism to full power. In those cases, I'll address any lingering deficiencies with a few supplements to restore critical missing nutrients to your diet. Rebalance your stress levels. Rebalance is the final piece of this program, but in many ways, this is the most important aspect. Rest and relaxation have a greater impact on your hormone balance than just about anything you can do. You may have a pristine diet, but if you're stressed out or sleep deprived, it's not going to make that much difference. We'll rebalance and learn how to manage the inevitable stress in our lives, as well as reset the wake-sleep balance to keep our stress hormones in check. Meet the key players. I think we all know why you're here. You want to lose weight, and I want you to as well. So rather than give you the 1,000-page treatise on the comprehensive functioning of the endocrine system, let's zero in on those hormones that have the most impact on your body weight. Here are the major players: insulin, thyroid, estrogen and progesterone, testosterone, DHEA and cortisol, epinephrine and norepinephrine, human growth hormone, leptin, and ghrelin. Metabolic hormone number one, insulin. We heard a lot about insulin in the days of low-carb diets, and for good reason. Problems with insulin are a root cause of some of the most dangerous health conditions, as insulin affects almost every cell in the body. If you can get a grip on your insulin's ups and downs, you'll be a good way toward restoring your body's hormone power. Where insulin comes from, the pancreas. Perched behind your stomach, the pancreas plays a critical role in how the body reacts to food. How insulin impacts your metabolism. Insulin's most important function is to lower the concentration of glucose in your blood. Shortly after you eat food, especially highly processed carbohydrates, your meal is broken down into simple sugars and released into the bloodstream. Within minutes, the pancreas pumps out a series of insulin surges. Insulin then ushers those sugars directly into the liver, where they are converted into glycogen for use by the muscles. Insulin also helps turn glucose into fatty acids, and ushers them into fat cells, where they can be stored as fuel to be tapped later. Both of these activities lower the concentration of sugar in the blood, which is very important. While high levels of blood glucose trigger insulin release, low levels suppress it. Maintaining low levels of insulin, one of the primary goals of the diet, allows your body to more easily tap into your stored fat for fuel. Exercise also helps your muscle cells become more sensitive to insulin and more efficient at using glucose for fuel. When your insulin release mechanism works the right way, it helps keep your weight in check. But when it's not working, watch out. How insulin gets out of whack. Problems arise when your body starts creating too much insulin, which can happen for several reasons. You can probably guess the most common one. When you eat too many of the wrong carbohydrates too often, especially refined carbs like white bread or pasta, which increase your blood sugar dramatically. To cope with this increase, your pancreas delivers a proportionate amount of insulin to scoop it all up into the cells. For example, let's say you had a Milky Way on an empty stomach. Your blood sugar surge is then so dramatic that insulin overreacts and works twice as hard to clean the sugar out of the blood. This over-efficient sugar removal doesn't leave enough glucose circulating in your bloodstream, so your blood sugar concentration drops. You feel hungry again, and you crave, and probably eat, more carbs. That's the post-sugar crash and binge cycle, the root of sugar addiction. When muscles are still filled up from the last snack, where does the insulin put these extra new calories? Straight into fat. And as long as these large amounts of insulin are still lurking in the bloodstream, your body won't have a chance to tap into your fat stores for fuel, so you won't burn any fat either. If you repeat this cycle enough times, your pancreas will overcompensate and produce more insulin, which your cells will eventually start to ignore. This is called insulin resistance, the precursor of type 2 diabetes and also common among people with a metabolic syndrome and excess pounds. Turned away at the door of the muscles, the sugar is left to roam the streets of your blood, aimless and homeless. If that homeless sugar hangs around the blood too long, doctors call this impaired fasting glucose if measured in the morning, or impaired glucose tolerance if measured 2 hours after a meal. If left unchecked, both conditions can eventually lead to full-blown diabetes. The more body fat you have, the more insulin is in your brain. And just as our bodies can become insulin resistant, so can our brains. A longitudinal study found that men who had insulin response problems at 50 were more likely to have cognitive decline, vascular dementia, or Alzheimer's 35 years later than men who had normal insulin response. While you may have heard that obesity causes insulin resistance and diabetes, and it does, another plausible sequence is that insulin resistance comes first, spikes insulin production and blood sugar, and makes people fat. Metabolic hormone number 2, thyroid. Hypothyroidism has become a bit of a hot health topic these days, following Oprah's revelation of having blown out her thyroid gland. I can relate. The same thing happened to me. The truth is, thyroid problems are very common in this country. About 27 million people have a thyroid imbalance, but less than half of them know it, because the symptoms, changes in energy, mood, weight, are similar to many other conditions. Where thyroid hormones come from. Your thyroid gland, a butterfly-shaped gland located in your neck just below your Adam's apple and just above your collarbone. Normally, it's pretty small, only about 2 inches with a lobe on each side of the windpipe. But if your thyroid gets inflamed, you could develop a goiter, where you can actually see a bulge appear on your throat. How thyroid hormones affect metabolism. Thyroid hormones perform a ton of functions in your body. They help control the amount of oxygen each cell uses, the rate at which your body burns calories, your heart rate, overall growth, body temperature, fertility, digestion, and your memory and mood. Basically, the whole enchilada. Your pituitary gland creates thyroid-stimulating hormone, TSH, to kickstart the thyroid. The thyroid then grabs iodine out of your blood and turns it into thyroid hormones. The largest amount is T4, thyroxine, which is actually kind of a metabolic dud. The thyroid magic happens when T4 is converted to T3, the zippy metabolism-boosting thyroid hormone. This conversion is fickle and completely dependent upon what's going on in your body. Whether you're sick, stressed, eating well or poorly, pregnant, on medication, getting older, absorbing environmental toxins, all of this will impact how efficiently this conversion happens and consequently how much active T3 your body has at any given moment. For example, when you're not taking in enough calories, the pituitary gland stops producing enough TSH and the thyroid doesn't produce enough T4. Less T4, less T3. Less T3, slower metabolism. This is part of what creates the vicious cycle known as yo-yo dieting. How thyroid hormones get out of whack. When thyroid hormones get unbalanced, either too high or too low, chemical reactions all over the body get thrown off. An underactive thyroid can lower your energy and make you gain weight. Called hypothyroidism, you can feel sluggish and start to pile on extra pounds that you can't blame on a poor diet or a lack of exercise. Most of my clients who are hypothyroid tend to be about 15 pounds overweight. Same with me. Since I started my thyroid medication and this diet, I'm back down to my fighting weight and I maintain it with moderate effort. I still exercise and I don't overeat, but I'm not killing myself in the gym or starving my body either. The most common cause of hypothyroidism is Hashimoto's thyroiditis, a hereditary condition 7 times more common in women than men, in which the immune system attacks the thyroid. So you can see that women are royally screwed in the thyroid department. All the more reason to get your thyroid tested if you suspect you have one or more of the symptoms listed here. The good news is that this diet will help support your thyroid so it can get to work burning some fat for you. Given that hypothyroidism can make everything slow down, you might think that being hyperthyroid would be a good thing, right? Not so much. In Graves' disease, the most common form of hyperthyroidism, your heart can race, you can become intolerant to warmer temperatures, and you can lose weight and/or get very tired. People with overactive thyroid glands are sometimes given radioactive iodine, which then makes them hypothyroid. So you can see that thyroid balance is really tricky, with unpleasant effects at both ends of the spectrum. That's why it's important to work with a good endocrinologist to keep your levels well balanced. Metabolic hormones number 3 and number 4, estrogen and progesterone. Estrogen performs an incredible number of roles, especially in women's bodies. In addition to directing a woman's entire development, from child into adult, estrogen also has a major impact on blood fats, digestive enzymes, water and salt balance, bone density, heart function, and memory, among many other functions. Estrogen and progesterone are steroid hormones. Most people think of muscle-bound meatheads when they hear the word steroid, but all it means is that your body creates those hormones out of cholesterol. Men and women both produce estrogen and progesterone normally, but our environment also thrusts a tremendous amount of estrogen on our bodies. Xenoestrogens are man-made estrogens such as pharmaceutical hormone replacement therapy, environmental toxins, pesticides, plastics, dioxins, and food additives, all of which can have a profound effect on the body's overall estrogen balance. Phytoestrogens are plant sources of estrogen, such as soy and flaxseed, which have a milder effect on the body, where estrogen and progesterone are produced in women: ovaries, adrenals, fat tissue, and placenta. Estrogens are actually created throughout the body. They can either bind with receptors on the outside of cells like other hormones, or scoot directly to receptors in the nucleus where the DNA lives. These dual powers are part of what makes estrogen so influential. Women actually have many different kinds of estrogen, but the three main forms are estradiol, estrone, and estriol. Before she hits menopause, the highest amount of naturally produced estrogen in a woman's body is the estradiol from her ovaries, which gets delivered through the entire body within seconds of being created. Estradiol gives women breasts and hips, smooths our skin, protects our brain, heart, and bones, and regulates our menstrual cycle. Estrone is an estrogen that's produced in our fat cells and our adrenal glands, the walnut-sized glands located right above the kidneys, and has fewer positive things to do in our body. Luckily, before we hit menopause, estrone is easily converted into estradiol. Afterward, no dice. It stays estrone. The third most common estrogen, estriol, isn't nearly as prevalent as the first two. The placenta produces estriol during pregnancy. Estrogen's buddy, progesterone, comes from the ovaries, where it's released when the follicle bursts and releases your egg every month. Progesterone plays a big part in protecting pregnancy and promoting breastfeeding. Progesterone is also produced in the adrenals and serves as a precursor to cortisol, testosterone, and estrogen. Where estrogen and progesterone are produced in men: the testes and adrenals. Men have a small amount of natural estradiol produced in the testes and adrenals. When estrogen is at a normal level, it can help protect a man's brain, heart, and bones, as well as maintain a healthy libido. How estrogen and progesterone impact women's metabolism. Estradiol is the estrogen of youth. In proper levels, it primarily helps women's bodies stay lean. Estradiol lowers insulin and blood pressure levels, raises HDL and lowers LDL. Women with more estradiol tend to have higher levels of muscle and lower levels of fat. Estradiol helps regulate hunger by creating the same satisfied feeling that comes from serotonin. Similarly, it helps keep your mood stable and your energy high, so you're more motivated to exercise. Estradiol does put fat on your hips and butt, but remember, that fat actually helps your insulin response. As you prepare to go through menopause, your ovaries start to shut down and your production of estradiol decreases. Then estrone becomes your main estrogen, which really sucks. Estrone immediately shifts fat from your butt and hips to your belly. As you lose more of your ovarian estrogen, your body becomes desperate to hang on to other estrogen-making areas of the body, including fat, making it harder for you to lose that belly fat. And the more fat you have, the more estrone you'll produce, because fat tissue turns fat-burning androgens into fat-storing estrone. Most women tend to gain several pounds during this transition, ramping up what becomes a vicious cycle. More estrone, more fat on the belly, more fat on the belly, more estrone. Another of estrogen's vicious cycles has to do with insulin. Insulin increases circulating levels of estrogen, and estrone causes insulin resistance. According to the Mayo Clinic, estrogen is 50 to 100 times higher in postmenopausal women who are overweight than in those who are thinner, which may account for the 20% greater risk of cancer, especially breast cancer, among heavier, older women. Progesterone helps to balance estrogen and can help manage some of these issues. So when progesterone levels drop, that creates problems too. For example, when progesterone drops right before your period, that imbalance may be what triggers cravings to eat, primarily carbs. Progesterone also drops at menopause, even more dramatically than estrogen. Because progesterone is also the precursor for testosterone and estradiol, when your progesterone production falls off, you also start to lose the fat-burning effects of those metabolically positive hormones. How estrogen and progesterone impact men's metabolism. When estrogen is in balance with men's testosterone, it has little negative impact on metabolism. But when estrogen is out of balance with other hormones, men can lose their muscle-building, fat-burning advantage. That's when they tend to develop man boobs, affectionately known as moobs, and love handles, features typically seen on women. How estrogen and progesterone get out of whack. People used to think that all of women's hormone balance problems stemmed from declining levels of estrogen, especially during perimenopause and menopause, PMS or postpartum periods. But increasingly, women in Western cultures tend to have too much estrogen rather than too little. For the past 50 years, doctors have started to notice that girls' puberty changes. Budding breasts, pubic hair development, and early menstruation have been happening earlier and earlier. Rates of breast cancer have jumped 40% in the past 35 years, and many signs, including decreasing sperm counts and increasing prostate cancer rates, indicate that men are facing the same issue of excessive estrogen. A large part of this hormonal disruption comes from the overwhelming explosion of xenoestrogens in the environment. Our bodies are getting slammed with endocrine-disrupting synthetic estrogens from the ingredients in our cosmetics and the cleansers under our sinks to the preservatives in our foods and the plastics wrapping them. You'll see how the scope of the impact on our hormonal balance is staggering. Other factors can also increase unhealthy levels of estrogen, such as stress, a lack of quality fats or protein, and too many refined grains, sugars, and processed foods. We'll talk about all of these factors because estrogen overload is one of the most critical crises in our biochemistry today. Men are naturally prone to increases in estrogen as they age, but any additional excess can lead to further problems with decreased metabolism, muscle building, and libido. For younger men, rising levels of estrogens are almost always a product of environmental estrogens. These excess estrogens put all of us at higher risk of cancer, infertility, diabetes, and other serious conditions. In contrast with traditional thinking, some researchers now believe that most perimenopausal or menopausal hormonal symptoms are caused not by a dip in estrogen, but by a plummet in progesterone. Some believe that too much estrogen and too little progesterone creates estrogen dominance, a condition that was named by John R. Lee, MD, one of the first prominent doctors to supplement with bioidentical progesterone to help his patients manage menopause. Dr. Lee's theory is still controversial, but as the evidence of the destructive forces of environmental estrogens piles up, belief in an emerging epidemic of estrogen dominance continues to grow. Stress can also make this imbalance worse. Cortisol and progesterone compete for the same receptors on your cells. So when you overproduce cortisol, you threaten your healthy progesterone activity. The Master Your Metabolism Plan will help you correct your estrogen-progesterone balance by addressing many of these issues. You'll start by identifying and removing as many exogenous estrogens from your diet and your environment as possible. You'll also restore the whole foods, especially healthful fats, that help your body build the right hormones while you rebalance the stress that can hamper proper hormone production. Metabolic hormones number 5 and number 6, testosterone and DHEA. The androgens testosterone and DHEA are not just for guys. Don't worry, ladies, boosting these hormones won't turn us into knuckle-dragging Neanderthals. In fact, they can help increase our energy, make us want to hit the gym, and help us build more calorie-burning muscle. That's why we have to do everything we can to protect their levels, because as we get older, they start to head south. Where testosterone and DHEA come from? The testes, ovaries, and adrenals. Men produce most of their testosterone in their reproductive glands, the testes. Just as estradiol does for women, testosterone helps develop men's secondary sex characteristics, such as body and facial hair. But testosterone helps both guys and girls. It boosts libido, keeps energy high, protects bone, and preserves mental function in later years. Most of women's testosterone comes from their adrenals, which is also the source of their DHEA. A precursor to testosterone and estradiol, DHEA may help prevent breast cancer, cardiovascular disease, impaired memory and brain function, as well as osteoporosis. Awesome hormone that it is, DHEA may even help us live longer. How testosterone and DHEA impact your metabolism. Androgens are, by definition, anabolic hormones. They build rather than destroy, and what they build, thank goodness, is mostly muscle. In men and women, testosterone helps increase lean muscle mass and strength, boosts libido, and improves energy. In women, testosterone can also be converted to estrogen. Testosterone and DHEA are forces of good in the metabolic war. How testosterone and DHEA get out of whack? Testosterone and DHEA are both hormones of youth. As men and women get older, our production of them starts to trend downward. According to Scott Isaacs, about 1/3 of all women experience low androgen levels at some point in their lives. Starting as early as 30, men's testosterone dips about 1 to 2% per year. In most men, this slow and steady decline of andropause is different from women's more rapid loss of estrogen and progesterone, which basically fall off a cliff at menopause. DHEA also declines, and because it's the building block of so many important hormones, all hormone levels suffer. As we lose these powerful androgens to advancing age, certain things happen. Our libidos slip, our muscles lose mass, we gain abdominal fat, and our bones weaken. Motivation to exercise decreases, which is absolutely tragic because exercise helps to boost testosterone. Men with abnormally low free testosterone levels are almost 3 times more likely to be depressed than men with high testosterone. To make matters worse, as people gain weight, their bodies start to convert more of their testosterone to estrogen. This estrogen can then start to overshadow the effects of the testosterone in another vicious cycle. More estrogen, more fat. More fat, more estrogen. The testosterone keeps getting crowded out of the equation. Testosterone supplementation is a new field for men and women, and although some of the research seems very promising, doctors remain a bit cautious until longer-term studies are completed. One area that's clearly dangerous is when younger people try to supplement their androgens without the help of an endocrinologist. When young men and women take artificial anabolic steroids, they actually train their glands to produce less of their own androgens. That's why guys who take roids, tend to have tiny testicles and high voices. Their bodies think they have plenty of male hormones, so they stop producing any of their own. Kind of the opposite of what they want, right? Metabolic hormones number 7, number 8, and number 9. Norepinephrine, epinephrine, and cortisol. Our fight or flight hormones can get us out of some pretty tight squeezes. They help us make deadlines, save toddlers from tripping downstairs, and run to catch buses. But while the effects of heart-pumping epinephrine and norepinephrine are fleeting, fat-storing cortisol's legacy is longer-lasting and deadly. Where norepinephrine, epinephrine, and cortisol are produced, the adrenal glands. Cortisol, also called hydrocortisone, is produced in the adrenal cortex, the outer part of each adrenal gland. The inner part of the adrenal gland, the adrenal medulla, produces the other primary stress hormones, norepinephrine, which restricts blood vessels, increasing blood pressure, and epinephrine, which increases heart rate and blood flow to muscles. Each of these stress hormones is released in different ratios based on the challenge you face. If you're looking at a challenge that you think you can handle, your adrenals release more norepinephrine. And after you win, you release more testosterone as you savor the victory. If you face a challenge that seems more difficult, something you're not sure you can master, you release more epinephrine, the anxiety hormone. But when you're overwhelmed, totally discouraged, and convinced you're screwed, you release more cortisol. That distinction has led some researchers to call cortisol the hormone of defeat. How norepinephrine, epinephrine, and cortisol impact metabolism. When you first become stressed, norepinephrine will tell your body to stop producing insulin so that you can have plenty of fast-acting blood glucose ready. Similarly, epinephrine will relax the muscles of the stomach and intestines and decrease blood flow to these organs. Your body